Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Lord of my heart,
păcări. Play one more song, brothers and sisters. Just give me just a minute. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Give me just a second. Let me put on a Bluetooth so the background noise. I'm hoping the background noise is not loud. I'm hoping everyone can. Give me just a second. I'm hoping everyone can hear me clear. I'm hoping I'm not too loud. If Sister Leola is too loud, I ask my brothers and sisters to let me know, because I don't want to be loud, and, you know, so just let me know. But let us pray, and we can begin. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come to you once again, Father, on this prayer line. Father, we are lifting up our brothers and sisters. We are lifting up the prayer line. We are lifting up the name of Jesus. And, Father, we are thanking you for your blessings that you have bestowed on us, Lord. We have been the church. Some of those is at home. But, Father, we had a blessing, and the teaching was something that we really need yesterday. So, Father, we thank you so much for your Sabbath day. And now that the Sabbath is passing on, Father, help us that every Sabbath is a little test that we can have that test weekly and getting it right with the Lord. So forgive us of our sins and bless us this day, Lord Father, to help us to remind us to keep your word. So, dear Lord, I'm asking that each and every one that come to share the word, I'm asking you to bless each and every one and help every one of us to share, testify of your goodness, because you are good. And we thank you. And we ask in all this in the worthy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And brothers and sisters, I just want to ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word and everything. Send his Holy Spirit with us that we may get understanding and learn more and more about him. So I'm reading from John. I just want to read a couple of scriptures. And this reading was John 1, 1 John. I mean, not 1 John, John 1, verse 1. And this one is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if anyone don't understand that, you can call Sister Carla, Sister Power, or myself. And if we don't have it right, we can ask someone else that God can help us. If we go to God and ask God what his word says, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us. So, and also, I want to read John 5 and 7. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. For the Father, that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit, water, and blood. We really need to ask Brother Akeem to break those down for us, because sometimes some things to get it. So I just want to thank God for his word. And as we read these scriptures, may your blessing be with us that we can learn and understand your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, brothers, sisters, I will open your line and that you can share. I'm going to ask my brothers and sisters to press 1. And I will begin to open the line. Amen. I will open the line for the first caller. That is 843-206. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. Praise the Lord. I just want to give the Lord all praise and honor and glory, because he is so worthy to be praised. He's an awesome God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. He takes such good care of us, so I'm giving him thanks for this precious day, waking me up in my right mind, and providing our every need according to his riches and his glory through Christ Jesus. So I thank you for opening my line. My name is Sister Tymeko from Florida, and I do have a precious scripture to share with my beloved, and it's taken from Psalms 121, and verses 1 through 8, and it reads, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence come my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8 says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. So praise the Lord. We can always look to God. Whenever we need help, we should call out on the name to God, asking God for help, because he is our keeper and he will protect us. So it's such a blessing to know that our God loves us with an everlasting love, and he takes good care of each and every one of us. And I do have a song to sing, beloved, but if it's not a good time, I can come back on and sing later, if that's okay with you, Sister Leola.
Yes, that would be good. We're going to let everyone share, and then you can come back and you can share that song before we go into prayer. Amen. Now, we have to, Brother Akeem say he would be on at 8:20, so we want to be able to open the line at that time. So we're going to go into prayer around about 5 after. So please, brothers and sisters, press 1 so you can share. So Sister Tamika, thank you. And we're going to open your line and later, about 8 o'clock, hopefully. So Leola is waiting on you to press 1. So Sister Tamika have given her thanks and her praise to God. And I'm just grateful. Thank you so much, Tamika. So, yes, we have the next one to press 1. Oh, praise God, my brothers and sisters, is pressing 1. Your line is open, 518-744. The line is open. You can go ahead and speak. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Viola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and praising the Lord for another day. We had a beautiful day yesterday, Sister. We were up to the Weir Miller Farm, and we had actually our speaker got stuck in Chicago, could not make it, so our conference president came. He was a pastor in our area for a while. He went to work at the conference, and actually a few years ago they voted him conference president, and it's been a real blessing. He spoke on a number of different topics. I did not get to hear much because I was busy chauffeuring people back and forth from the parking lot to the meetings. They have a new parking lot there, so we can't park on the grass like we used to. We have to park in the parking lot. It's a little bit of a walk. Not far, but it's got a steep hill, so I was busy doing that. But he was talking about how we can trust the Spirit of Prophecy and Ellen White's writings, and I am going to get the CD of that and listen to that here next week when we go to church. We'll have that there for us. But it was a real blessing. The weather held out until the meeting was finished. We were supposed to have rain, thunderstorms, lightning, and you know what? We had right just when the speaker finished at 3 o'clock, it started raining, and we had a little too in the rain. But, you know, God is good. He held back the wind and the rain. There was no lightning. Everybody got to their cars safely, and it was such a blessing. But I was reading this morning, and I just wanted to share this with my brothers and sisters. In Ephesians, I'm going to get to my King James Version here. It's, I was reading in the Amplified so that I could understand something better. But I do like how the King James words this. It says here in Ephesians 3, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, Paul is saying here, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. So what are we asking for? God is ready and waiting to do more, exceedingly abundantly more than what we ask or we can even think. And so that is just amazing, because there are certain times I think, you know, man, if God could just do this, that would be awesome. And he's saying he can do more than that. So I'm just praising the Lord for his promises and his goodness to me. It was good to hear Sister Tamiko on the line. I've just been lifting her up in prayer, and all of our folks on the prayer line. I was going through my whole list of people last night that are on the prayer line praying for each one of you. Please keep me in prayer and my family. My wife is getting closer and closer to retirement, but she is still under a great amount of stress. She has been working 12 to 14, sometimes 15 hours a day, trying to keep their office afloat. And I know it's not God's will that we tax our bodies that way. And I've talked to her about that, but she said she's got a short time left, and so she wants to go out doing her very best. I'm just praying for her. And my daughter Ashley, please continue to pray for her. And Mr. Leola, I was just praying for Jarvis this morning. He and Ashley and Sister Tamiko's sons, and you know, just those young people, they are the future. And if God gets a hold of them, they are going to set this world on fire. And I'm excited about that, waiting for him to answer that prayer. I know he is working, and I am trusting that, because my efforts have failed miserably, but his won't. So I am just excited to see what God is going to do with those young people when they finally make that choice to listen to him. So let's keep praying that those young folks listen to him, hear his voice, answer the call. So continue to pray for me, and I am praying for you folks, so please continue to do that. And thank you. And thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And a good night to all.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. Truly, you know, Brother Rick, brother, as I was there with my sisters and my friends today, you know, we can understand when we love one another and how you are constantly praying for the prayer line, brothers and sisters, Jarvis, and we praying for your daughter, your family. And you know, the love of God proved to us the kind of love that he laid down for us, and the love we ought to show for one another, to pray for one another, to take care of one another, to, you know, it is such, I'm telling you, this is what I'm telling you, what my sisters did for me today. They gave me a dinner and called me over, gave me a nice book. It says faith, and talk about faith, and it got some scriptures and all. But I was so touched. And like I'm saying, I'm touched with the words you just said, how you lift all us up in prayer, how we all pray for one another. God is so good. And you know, it is such a blessing to have that heartfelt with all of my brothers and sisters on this prayer line lifting us up. And I know I hear it all day long, Sister Power lifting up my family, Sister Tamika calling, praying and lifting up Brother Rick. I'm telling you, Brother Rick is a blessing to us on this prayer line. Everybody,
amen.
Brother Eli, everyone is a blessing, because the Bible tells us if we pray together, stay together. You know what? At times when your prayers has come through for me just when I need it, but you know what? You never know, because you pray for me, you never know that prayer, that Sister Power, Sister Tamika, Brother Rick, somebody, even Brother Eli, somebody, Sister Brett, somebody has prayed for us. And I'm so grateful to hear my sister say it yesterday. She testified she said that she had been dealing with cancer, and she had not told nobody, in the church. But the doctor, she went to the doctor, she told us, the doctor said he couldn't find no cancer. Oh, I tell you, I cried. We cried with her, and we just hugged her, and we're so happy for her. That's truly a blessing. So I want to just say thank you, not just, I'm talking about everyone that joined this prayer line. Thank you so much, because without your support, we can't even have a prayer line. So thank you once again, Brother Rick, and I'm going to open the line for others. Keep praying for all, especially for Jarvis and Ashley, all our loved ones that's out there in the streets, and that they, God is going to hear that prayer. Amen. So thank you once again, Brother Rick, for lifting us all up in prayer. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller, brothers and sisters, and I appreciate every prayer that is prayed for each and every one of us. So let us open that 518. Hold on a second. Let me see what this thing doing. My computer is circling. Hold on, sisters and brothers. It just got a little. Hold on a second. It won't close, Brother Rick. Just give me a second. Sometime my internet do that. Oh, Sister Power, can you open your line? My computer is circling. Oh, it's a little weak. Let me see, could I go back? I'm trying to, just give me a second, brothers and sisters. My internet kind of weak. Let me see. Okay, hold on just a second. When your line is open.
Okay, thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. I just have my phone, so that is why I couldn't at the time do that. You know, God is good, God is great. I just want to thank God for the privilege that we can come together and to listen to this wonderful report and requests and praises and giving honor and glory to God. I listen to Brother Rick, and, you know, despite, you know, we know that William Miller is a wonderful site for each and every person to really go and to witness and to testify about the goodness of God. And, you know, even though the rain fall, I do know that Brother Rick and I and that group have a wonderful time there. But the rain did fall, my dear beloved. But it didn't stay long in Albany, you know, it fall and then it stopped. You know, God is good. I had a good Sabbath yesterday by just listening to the word. And there is so much praise report, my dear beloved, that I have to give thanks, I have to give praise for us, especially we, God's children, who are faithful, you know, and I just want to say thank you to everyone on Advent Life on behalf of the children in Jamaica and also Rosie Project. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Brother Rick, Sister Leola, Sister Tamiko, and Sister Brenda. Everyone, Sister Carla, Sister Stephanie, everyone, because, my dear beloved, without prayer, we couldn't do this. And without Christ, we couldn't do nothing. And we know He is the head of everything. And I am just giving praise, and I am just bringing honor, my dear beloved, you know, to see when I saw the goodness of God and how He is working miracle there. And I just want to say thank you. My dear beloved, we have some, my heart, I'm telling you, His move is growing for our young people. And I got up this morning and I was praying. I said, Lord, I am asking you to help each one of us, our Advent Light and every Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters who are looking forward for the second coming of Christ, and not only the second coming, who are looking to be transformed with Christ's righteousness by faith, that we could go down in a season of serious heart surrendering, that we can present our youth, my dear beloved, to God so that God can rescue, the song said, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. You know, Jesus is dear. Jesus is ready to open his arm to receive him. I receive them. And that is a burden on my heart when I look years gone by and I saw so much precious children in the church, when I look and I saw them doing their 13 Sabbath scriptures, their memory verse from 1 to 13. Some of them were so funded and grounded with the LNG right when they came into this country, and they were doing good. And my dear beloved, as they reach 18 or so to go to high school or college, there is where the enemy creep in and stole them away. And when he took them away, he carried them way up into the wilderness, you know, and to be see, and just have them out there, you know, show them the world, the glutton giver of the world, the love of the world, the love of the money, the flesh and all these things, and this, and the devil stole our children away. It's burden on my heart, but God said burdens are lifted on Calvary. So my dear beloved, this morning I got up, and one of my niece community niece, her mother died a few years ago, and, you know, we lose the touch because they did not really worry with Sister Powell. So the Holy Spirit said, you are pray for the youth, call her. And I call her 3-4 beautiful children. Used to take them to church, carry them and bring them back to church all the while they were at church. And when I call them, oh, my dear beloved, and I said to them, how you doing? And they said, they're good. And they started to cry. The eldest one started to cry, Patricia, and she started to cry, Auntie, thank you for calling. Thank you. I had a hard time. And she was just going on, my dear beloved. So what I did, I pray for them. And I just ask the Lord to help and protect and to keep them, that the work that they have been doing, performing, you know, that they will do it. I told them that you cannot do anything without the Lord. Whatsoever you're doing, present it to the Lord. We know it's a serious job you are doing down there in the three of you guys, but with God, all things is possible. I'm so grateful that I was able to call my dear sister Leola. And all she's crying and I am crying. And we just, tears were just running down over the phone. But I give God thanks because it was a praise, and the tears were tears of joy. It's like the prodigal son, when the father saw the son came home, he was rejoicing. He was happy. All he could do to his maid, go and bring him a coat and throw around him and make that party. So, my dear beloved, those prodigals are out. Our children are dying out there in sin. Our children are dying. Some are dying. Some are in jail. Some are in the hospital. Some are out there in the world doing crazy things. My dear beloved, it's time for us, you know, to surrender all to the Lord so that our prayer can be answered. So we know that we have time for a prayer in our closet, right, where we can stay in our closet and cry and weep and mourn with the Lord, asking our Lord Jesus to save our children. So that's my prayer request this evening, my dear sister. Thank you. I know others want to join. I just want to say thank you for opening my line, and I will be traveling tomorrow, and I'm asking for prayer for everyone, you know, that the Lord will carry me safely and also bring me back safely. I can trust him because I know he promised that he will never leave me or he never will forsake me. So thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my life and continue to be faithful in doing God's work. Thanks. Amen. Sister Leola, you having problem with the amen?
Oh, sorry. I had muted because I'm background noise. I want to thank you, Sister Powell, for sharing that, because when I got to Jackie this morning, I was, her son gave me a book called Faith Still Moves Mountains. And I opened the book because, you know, I'm like, Lord, I need to fast. And I need to, you know, the Bible says some things come by fasting and praying. And I say, Lord, I need time. I need to fast. You know, sometime a day of fast is not good enough to fast for the children, because the Bible says these things must come by fasting and praying. It may be or need to be a week. It may need to be a month for God to move. But I opened the book, Sister Powell, and because I said, oh, Robert, this is beautiful. So I opened the book. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible. Sister Powell, there I cried. It, you know, I say, Lord, I've been praying. It was just like the book telling me right here, miracle stories of healing and power of prayer. So I was praying. That's what the book says. So I was praying. I was praying that this morning as I was sleeping. I said, Lord, help me, give me strength to fast and pray for my son, for our children. Sister Power, for our children. As you are saying, Sister Power, I drive on the street over there and I see them sick. I saw one young lady I was passing. Sister Power, her tongue don't move. Her tongue out of her mouth is open, and her tongue is some kind of fold and it's sticking out of her mouth. And she looked like, poor thing, she looked like a zombie. And I said, Lord, have mercy. And Sister Power, I said, Lord, we need to fast and pray the Lord to move and to do something to help these people in their mind, to get their mind right. Sister Powell, I was just praying, man. And I'm telling you, when I looked at this book, I started crying. I said, you know what? I was just praying for this morning. And the Lord put it, I said, Lord, you are telling me something. So, Sister Powell, thank you for mentioning that. And that, brothers and sisters, let us be on one accord. Let us all be praying for our youth, all these youth out there. It's our children, or it could be one of ours. So let us all, everyone on the prayer line, keep the children in prayer. Amen. So thank you so much, Sister Powell, for joining us in speaking on this in the behalf of the youth and all children. Sister Powell, I don't know if your line is circling. I don't know if you can hear me, but I just thank God.
I hear you.
Hear you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me do my computer again because let me just do it again before I open somebody's line because it won't. Just give me a second, brothers and sisters. Okay, it's still winding. So I won't be able to open the other person line.
My goodness.
Hold on. Let me see if I can open the note. It's still winding. Give me just a second, sisters and brothers, because it's winding and it won't. My internet is. Give me a second.
my internet. That's what it is. My internet is not connected. Okay, it's connected back. I don't know why it's dropping. Okay, it's back on track. Okay. All right, Sister Powell is on track for a second. Okay, we're going to open the next line. Thank you, Sister Powell. If you still can help me, you can open it because it's finished. But I'm open this next line, 985-323. I mean, 232, your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Hummer, Louisiana. I just want to thank God, and I heard Sister Leola, what you said about the children. God, I just ask you to bless those children and take care of their sickness and be by their side, because we had a child last week in the neighborhood, a baby, left the house. Went across the little highway, a four-way stop sign, roaming to the store, just walking the streets. No one could find the mama. So the people called the police. Police couldn't find the mama. I don't know what the end result was yet, but we don't know. But I know the police came under us and knocked for the secretary and gave a report on her that the baby wandered the streets and nobody couldn't find the mama, and they was waiting on the mama, and they had been waiting. I don't know if she ever showed up. Okay, then we had an incident. We had shooting where we at. The bullets came straight in the office, but we upstairs, so it didn't hit us. Straight in the office where we at the bottom. Passed over my grandbaby head. We couldn't go to her. I was asleep. My daughter, I jumped up my seat to somebody shooting, and she in the window screaming and hollering because we watch her when she out there. She get my baby, somebody. But everybody out there, when she out there, they watch her. So her nanny grabbed her. But the boy just ran, going through the crowd, shooting over the children. And she grabbed her. They was grabbing the children. And everybody went out to get the gun. But trying to get the gun, they had bleed. So the boy that he shot 8 times in the face and the stomach. And blood just was gushing over the cars and all in the windows of the cars. And, you know, he the only one got all the bullets. Thank God. And it had so many babies out there screaming and hollering. And my poor little grandbaby, the one that's 6, she was hypnotized, my grandson with his daddy. And then we learned that the little boy, he's, 14 or 15, he was my grandson, friend, that throws the football to him. So we didn't know what company he was keeping, but he don't live here. His mother do, but he don't live here. And I know the family, but they're not from here. They're from a good ways where we used to live many years ago. So it just was a chaos here. Everybody walking with a gun. I said, well, nobody need to go outside because everybody paranoid and they don't tell them who's going to get killed tonight. Because everybody was paranoid. 3 men from up nowhere just come up shooting. One from this way, one from that way, one from the other way. So my daughter called her friend because the boy shot over my daughter's head. And her friend come with her gang of guys. But then she didn't know if she didn't know where they were. They come to get him. I said, oh, Lord, please send me my house, Lord. because it's going to be wild. I just prayed and prayed to calm down. But since I prayed, that was the first incident happened. And I'm like, Lord, but I just got to read this prayer, Lord. Oh, Holy Father, only by keeping your word can we be strong to conquer the strongholds, of sin in our heart, or to serve you in ministry and lead others to your Son. Your word will strengthen our soul to face another day with all its trouble and its temptation. Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
Oh, what a word.
Amen.
What a word we need today. This one right here, and
amen.
I never read it. Glory be to God. And I cheer you all that you was today. So thank God for his word. And I tell you, need a word out here. But thank God, he knows what's best, because I stay on the praying line for us, you know, and it's complex. So God is good. He knows what he's doing. Amen. And Brother John.
Amen. Brother John.
Just ask
amen.
Your prayer
amen.
For us being like our family and the bereaved family and everyone else. Amen. Your job.
Yeah, just like to say hello. This is Brother John from Louisiana. And, anyway, like she was telling you, things that went on, but thank God the guy's doing okay, though. As I said, he's healing and everything. So, you know, thank God he's healing and everything, though. But that's going on, but. Thank God, like I said, the grandbaby wasn't hurt, or any of the kids around here wasn't hurt, or anyone. Like I said, the guy they wanted, but he's not dead. So thank God. But anyway, just gonna stay optimistic on everything. You know, no matter what goes on, I'm gonna keep optimistic about things myself. And just keep the faith and keep putting God first. And that's what I'm going to do in my life. Be putting him first, no matter what happens. And just be prayed up about things and just keep doing our best. And like I said, do our best, and he's got our back. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John. But that's all we can do is pray, and we're going to lift it up here on the prayer line. But we got to open the next line. So thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John, for comments and sharing, and we're going to lift those prayers up. So let us open the next line. We ask him that you be brief, please, because we're going to need to be in prayer. 857, your line is open. Can you give us your name and where you're calling from?
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for opening my line, Daniela. My name is Greta Eli. I like to thank God for his love and his mercy, because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. And Sister Miola, I like to praise God because God is good. He's merciful. He's worthy to be praised. I want to say hallelujah. I want to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have a prayer request, Sister Miola. My prayer request is to lift up Sister Power too, that Sister Power will come to be. You, Sister Power, Sister Tamiko, I'm praying for individual that you guys will come to Baycove, come preach the word of God, and I'm praying that you guys will come in August, Sister Miola, because August is coming up, Sister Power, August is coming up, so Sister Power, I don't know, can you guys come to Baycove, come to preach the word with the other Sister Power, and Sister Power, just like Sister Viola say, my dear sister, we gonna leave it to the Lord in prayer, my dear sister.
Amen.
Sister
Amen.
Power, I'm praying that you will come to Baycove, Sister Powell. Come sing praises unto the Lord. And Sister Powell and Sister Miola, I'm praying for Sister Tamiko that Sister Tamiko will make it to Boston.
You got
it.
You
Sister
have a request,
Miola.
Brother Eli? You have
yeah,
a request,
yeah.
Because we're going to
mm-hmm.
have to move forward because we
yeah,
got others
Sister Miola,
to press
please.
One.
Yeah, Sister Miola, please pray for Sister Tamiko that she will make it to
mm-hmm.
Boston too, that she will come to Bay Cove, that she will come sing the song, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, can I sing after they finish praying? Because I want Sister Tamiko to hear that song too. I love you, Lord, or do not pass me by.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to have time, but I have a few others that raised their hands. And we just want to say thank you, Brother Eli, for sharing with us. And we're going to go to the next caller. So thank you. We will lift up these prayers. And we're going to see if you have time that you can sing, because Brother Akeem will be with us at 820 line. And it's 518-650. We open in your line. Amen.
Yes, Sister Miola, good evening. This is Sister Barnaby. I'm called from Albany in New York. And can I sing my song?
Yes, you can. Okay, if you're going to sing a song, you can sing your song. But we are limited for time right now because we want to make sure we get another person press one. So, yes, ma'am, you can sing the song, and you can just give thanks or just your prayer request. Yes, ma'am, you can go ahead.
Yes, I sing the mighty power of God that makes the mountain rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day, the moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that fills the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where I turn my eye, if I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky. There's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known, and clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. Creatures that borrow life from thee are subject to thy care. There's not a place where we can flee, but God is present there. Our Father who art in heaven, we sing the mighty power of God that makes a mountain rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, O God, and built the lofty skies. We come before you this evening, O God, because we are unworthy, we are unholy, we are undone, we are nothing good, God. But, Lord, because of your grace and your mercy, we are not consumed. We are here this evening to give you thanks for your keeping care, for your tender mercy, for your guidance, for your protection. Lord, you have kept us from the enemy who is trying to devour us. But in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, because you is God, we depend on you, Lord. We are calling upon you this evening. Anoint us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Create in us clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within us. Mighty God, cast us not away from your presence, Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Lord, unworthy though we be, God, we are dependent on you. You send your Son to die on the old rugged cross, so that we are here this evening to give you thanks and to give you praise, because you are God and God alone, and you are worthy of all the praise. Be with this prayer line, Lord, and all of us who are on this prayer line. And be with Sister Powell, O God, as she travels She and Stephanie, be with them as they travel, Lord. I put them into your hand, oh God. I'm asking you to build an edge around them, oh God, and give them a safe flight to reach their destination, oh God. And whatever their plans, let it be done according to your will. Continue to guide them. Continue to mold them and fashion them into your likeness, oh God. Give them light so that they may shine all around, so that others may see that you are working through them. Father, be with the speaker this evening. Whatever he speak, let the words come from your throne. Continue to bless each and every one of us and align with us, with our families. We put them before you, God. Anoint them, O God. Cleanse them. Purge them. Honor them, O God. Take full control. Heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, open shelter for the homeless. Lord, freely you receive and freely you give. Oh God, have your way, let your will be done. And let everything be done according to your will. Thank you for hearing, thank you for answering, thank you for what you have been doing, Lord. What you're doing now and what you continue to do. Lord Jesus, keep us safe, keep us sound. Never leave us, never forsake us. Always be near us to hear us when we cry. I pray and I give you thanks in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Biody, for lifting the prayers up at first prayer. We thank you, my sister, and that's what we here for. We are a prayer line and to always lift up brothers and sisters. Thank you so much, Mother Bonnaby. So, brothers and sisters, I have another line that we need to open. It's, give me just a second. 423-635, your line is open. Amen?
Amen, amen. Good evening. Thank you for opening up my line, Sister Leola. I'm just giving praise and thank the Lord for another day, the first day of the week, and his blessing and protection through the week past and through the Sabbath. It was a high Sabbath. God is good. He's worthy to be praised. I was in Georgia at Safe to Serve. Pastor Henrique and also Sister Barbara O'Neill was there, and it was a blessing. The message was powerful, and I just want to share a reading. It says, remember that the character building is not finished till life ends. Every day a good or bad brick is placed in the structure. You are either building crookedly or with exactness and correctness that will make a beautiful temple for God. Therefore, it's in looking for great things to do, neglect not the little opportunities that comes to you day by day. He who neglects the little things are yet flatter himself that he is ready to do wonderful things, for the master is in danger of failing altogether. Life is made up not for great sacrifice and wonderful achievement. So it's more than that life is made up. Even the little things that we do, those we come in contact with, those we encourage day by day, we pray for, those things are seem high in God's presence once we're wholeheartedly praying for others and we're being convicted of wrong. As I was reading today, diet and dress reform is going to be, a hindrance to a lot of people. We have to overcome everything, especially those two things, because they're prevailing in the church and in the world, and the church is bringing those things into the worldly things into the church, and those things will be a hindrance to God's people. So let us be faithful, let us be convicted, and let us direct us to help us. Thank you again. God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Amen.
Amen, amen. Sister Carla, can you offer a word of prayer? You can offer a word of prayer for the brothers and sisters with prayer line. Just pray a general prayer. Amen.
Okay.
You want me to do it now? Yes, please.
You want me to do it now? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we just thank you, Lord. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins or trespasses. We ask that you will help us. We thank you for being a loving, long-suffering Father. In time old, many would have died because of sin, but you are long-suffering towards each and every one of us. You know our name. You know our character. You know the patience of the saint. There's nothing that's hidden from you. So we lay all our burdens at your feet. We lay all our cares at your feet. We lay all our sins openly. They're at your feet, and we ask that you will forgive us of our sins, that you will mold us and shape us, that we will have the character of Jesus, and that others will know that we have been with you through our studies, our devotion, our prayer, our communion with you, and helping and praying for others. Lord, you know the desire of your people. You know their strength and their weaknesses. We ask that you will create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Help our families, Lord, that we will get our house in order, the physical and the spiritual home. Bless the youth. Be with them in a marked way. Bless those that are suffering right now. There's so much debt going on, suffering and illness going on, but this is, we know, of the devil. Just like at the pool of Bethesda, the angel, which is the devil, moved the water, and there was a competition for one to make it, but the race that we're running is for all those that endure so that we all can receive a crown. We ask that you will bless us, Lord. Be with the speaker. Bless him in a marked way, Lord. Help him, strengthen him, that he will come to bring the message that is so needed so that we can make all our wrongs right. Be with our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our family and friends, those that have not received you as their personal Savior. We ask that you will touch their hearts, that they will be receptive, their hearts will be open to the moving of your Holy Spirit upon their hearts so that they can accept you as their personal Savior before it's too late. We thank you again for health and strength and provision. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for the prayer. And always, it's truly a blessing for my brothers and sisters to lift up everyone. So we thank Sister Carla for her prayers. And brothers and sisters, we still have a little bit more time. We're going to ask for another prayer. So we need some prayers by God's grace. So we're going to ask Sister Power to offer a prayer. We have, I was asking Brother Rick. Brother Rick, ask you to lift up the prayer line and just give us a little prayer. Amen? Brother Rick,
yes.
If you're able.
Amen.
I didn't even ask. Okay. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick.
Amen. Yes. Yes. Okay, let's bow our heads. Lord, we just pause a moment longer in your presence. Oh, Father, you see us weak, sick with sin, souls, Lord, but Lord, you have promised to do more than we could ask or even think for us. Lord, strengthen us. May we continue to come before your throne, not only to ask for forgiveness, Lord, but to gather strength to continue this fight, this battle, this race, Lord, as you've called it in the scriptures. Oh, Lord, we want to run this race well, doing our very best. But Lord, we have no best. We have no good. It all comes from you. So Lord, we lay all these things at your feet. Oh Lord, we present ourselves to you this evening, Lord, each one of us here. All the callers, all the listeners, Lord, Sister Carla, and Brother Eli, Sister Brenda, Brother John, Sister Danita, Sister Powell, Sister Leola, myself and all others that are listening, Sister Barnaby, Lord, a beautiful prayer and a beautiful song. Lord, we just thank you for gifts that you've given each one of us. Lord, may we use them for your work. for your cause. You know, especially want to pray for safety for Sister Powell as she will be leaving for Jamaica. Sister Powell, Sister Stephanie, as they'll be going down to minister to the folks down there. Oh, Lord, give them a double portion of your spirit. Oh, Lord, may we not forget to lift them up in prayer each day, Lord, multiple times each day, so that your power will be felt, will be seen in Jamaica, Lord, and souls will be brought to the foot of your cross. Oh, Lord, we're just grateful for your goodness. And, Lord, oftentimes we get caught up in trying to be good. Lord, I pray that we would not try to be good, but we would allow you to work in us. Lord, we need to cherish you, to love you, to allow you to lead us and guide us, and then the good that we are trying to do will be from you, not from us. Mm-hmm. You said all the righteousness is like filthy rags. No, Lord, we want the robe of Christ's righteousness covering us and our deeds to be his deeds, your deeds. Oh, Father, we just pray a special blessing upon each person that is listening tonight, Lord. Guide them, bless them, keep them, Lord. Our children, our grandchildren. Lord, I think of Sister Katie. I didn't hear her tonight. But Lord, we just want to especially lift her up, her and her children, her grandchildren, Lord. Each one of us has family members, Lord. Some have, we have children, we have grandchildren that, oh, Lord, they need you desperately. And, Lord, the devil is seeking to devour them. He has got a hold of them, Lord, and we just pray that you would surround them with your powerful angels, Lord. Release the devil's hold upon these young folks, Lord. Free their minds from sin and from all the enticements of this world, Lord. May we see them for what they are, Lord. May we see them for what they are and turn to you, Lord. Father, we just lift up our speaker, Brother Akeem and his family, all of his folks that he is ministering to at the Pasadena Church there in Maryland. Lord, just please be with him. Give him a word tonight, Lord, that we can incorporate into our lives. We can hear, we can understand, we can put into practice, we can obey, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. And, Lord, we are just in awe of your goodness to us because you did not deserve it. Lord, we are grateful for it. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. And I will just do a short prayer. And I want to open the line for Sister Tamiko to sing that the song. So I will do the last prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you, Father, and agree with every prayer that has been spoken tonight. Father, as we are lifting up Sister Tamiko, Father, Brother Rick, Sister Powell, Sister Brenda, Sister Barnaby, Sister Carla, Brother Eli, Sister Katie, Brother O'Neill, Father, so many that joined this prayer line, Brother John, Lord, Father, any name that I forgot, Lord, you know each name that has been prayed. Sister Stephanie and her crew, Father, we lifting up all our brothers and sisters, especially our Mama Powell getting ready to travel. She and Sister Stephanie, and I don't know what other family, they getting ready to travel Jamaica, Father. We ask that you go before them. Send your Holy Spirit, Father, to go before them and carry them to Jamaica, Father, and that they receive all the packages, everything that she would be able to distribute to the children that's in need. And Heavenly Father, when she feed them, Lord, to you, Jesus, Lord, as you fed the 5,000, Jesus, Lord, I'm asking that you feed this, whether it's 200 to 2,000 or 5,000, Jesus. I'm asking you to feed these children, the parents, the elders, and whomever come. You say, whoever come, let them come. So, Father, we pray for your blessing to be up on this mission that you have given to Mama Power and all those that join her. Father, allow this work to continue
even when she's not there. Father, I'm blessing Jamaica because, Lord, you say if they come together and do what you will, do whatsoever you will, Lord, you say you will bless them and you will continue to fill that basket. So, Father, let them know that you are God and God alone, that you can always fill that basket. Every time that basket seems to get empty, it will be filled to the brim. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you're doing with your people, because we know, Father, as this prayer line, as we say together, Lord, we remember one another, and the name can come up more often. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to bless us on this prayer line. Be with us, Lord, as family. Lord, we love one another. We pray for one another. We lift one another up to you because, God, we do know that you have us in your hand, in the palm of your hand. Praise God. And we thank you in the name of, we lift up Brother Akeem and his mother, my daughter, Nicole, Sophia. We lift up all our children. All of our children, Sister Carla, Brother O'Neill, Sister Brenda, Sister Katie, all of our children, Sister D'Amico, Brother Rick, all our children, Father, Brother Eli's family, Lord God, everyone. Lord, we miss none, Father. So continually to hold them in your hand, Lord, and guide them and lead them in Jesus' name. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to open this line right quick where Sister D'Amico can bring this song because Brother Akeem. And Brother Eli, we will get you next time to sing. Amen. So, Sister D'Amico, your line is open. Phone. Sister D'Amico.
Hello?
Yeah, your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Leona, for opening my line. Praise God. Amen. Okay. The song is taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Amen. Standing on the promises. Praise God. Amen. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages and his praise is here. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fail. When the howling wolf storms of doubt and fear and fail, by the living word of God I shall be there. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcome and dwelling with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are standing on his promises, my sister. Thank you so much for opening my life. Love you all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister D'Amico. Brother Akeem is not on. Brother Eli, I'm going to open up your line. If you have your song, Brother Eli. Oh, Brother Akeem is on, Brother Eli. Brother. So we're going to have to open Brother Akeem's number, okay? So, but Brother Akeem, I was going to let you sing, but okay, Brother Akeem, I'm opening your line, 301-604. Your line is open. And Brother Akeem, we have already prayed and sung songs and just gave God thanks. Now your line is open. Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, and glad to be back on again this evening. And this evening we'll be switching up a few things. But we will be coming back to this aspect of the three angels' messages. And so actually this can help us to segue into the topic we're going to cover this evening. And so if you have your Bibles on you, let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Father in heaven, give us wisdom and understanding. Draw us ever closer to you. And help us, Lord, to be in a deeper understanding of the truths of your word and to live in harmony with that understanding. Lord, we are frail, but at the same time we know that you are powerful and that your word is powerful. Forgive me of my transgressions, Lord, and use me as a conduit to communicate your truth. Pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right,
amen.
So let's go. Amen. So let's go to, this will help us actually, the final part of the first angel's message will help us to transition. We'll break this down into two parts this week and next week. But this week we'll transition into this subject. And so this is found in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7. All right, now it says there in verse 7 at the very end, we've covered the fearing God means to obey his law, keep his commandments, live in harmony with his principles. In so doing, out of a heart of love and gratitude, our lives give God glory. And then along with this, we also found out why God is calling us to do this. Why is God calling us back to obedience to his law? And in so living out the principles of the law, giving him glory. It is because the judgment hour has commenced. And we covered in short in the past two studies that judgment hour began in 1844, starting with the dead, and there is a time coming when it will transition to the living. We also found out that in this judgment, it is not only that we are on trial, but God is on trial. His character must be revealed as it truly is. But how is it revealed in context? Through us. God's character must be revealed through his people. But in light of the law being the foundation of the judgment, as we saw last time in James chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, there's a reason God is calling us back to this law. It's because there's a specific part of the law that has been forsaken by the majority of the Christian world. It says in the last part, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Now it's interesting, that last portion of the first angel's message, worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters, that last portion of the three angels' messages comes verbatim, for the most part, apart from the section that says in the fountains of waters, the other part of it, worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea, comes directly from the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, dealing specifically with the Sabbath. If you go in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and we go to verse 8, it states there, speaking of the Sabbath, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why? Here it is. Because, or for, in 6 days the Lord, here's the statement, made, worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. So you see, it's pulling Revelation 14, verse 7, is the latter part of it, is pulling directly from the fourth commandment. So it's pointing people back to the Sabbath commandment, right? And this is crucial to remember, because the Sabbath commandment is pointing us back to what? Creation. And we're realizing, according to the fourth commandment, it is the Lord who made all of these things. But one of the things that I've come to notice is that according to two sections of Scripture, multiple sections, but there are a few sections of Scripture that reveals that while it is true God made the world, we're going to look this evening at the instrumentality through which God made the world. How did he do it? Put me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. In all things we must see Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to verse 1. So God made the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a memorial of creation. The Sabbath is to be kept because it is supposed to ever point us back to the fact that God created the world, Jehovah created the world. But how did Jehovah make the world? Watch this. It says, God who at sundry times, it's in Hebrews 1, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. All right? Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom, now watch this, by whom also he made the worlds. So how did God make the worlds that are in existence, including the earth itself, which is a world? How did he make it? According to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, he made it through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the instrumentality through which God made the world. This point now is echoed in John chapter 1. So now let's go to John chapter 1. All right? So it says in John chapter 1, the same point is reiterated, and we're going to break this down. We're going to break down verses 1 to 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Now notice, the text does not say, in the beginning the Word began to be. Rather, it says, in the beginning, past tense, was the Word. In other words, when the beginning began, the Word was already there. And it just makes sense because it is the Word that actually brings about the beginning. So this is crucial for us to remember, friends. It's vital for us to remember. The Word was there, already there, when the beginning began. The Word is actually the initiator of the beginning. And so this tells us the only way that he can be the initiator, this Word can be the initiator of the beginning, is if he existed before the beginning. I pray that that makes sense. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And it says, and now we can understand why this Word had to exist before the beginning. Because notice what it says here. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. That word with there, when you look at it in the original Greek language in which the New Testament is written in, was originally written in, translated from that language to English, which we have today, that word with there means to be in relationship to. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in relationship to God or with God. And this, of course, is in reference to God the Father. But now notice what it says about this Word. It was not only there when the beginning began. It did not only have a relationship with God. But friends, notice this. That's God the Father. But notice something else about this Word. And this means that this Word is not just something you speak. It's not just God's instructions. This Word has to be alive. Why? Because it says, and the Word was God. Friends, we know that God is not, to be a God is not to be an inanimate object. It is not to be just words. It's not to just be something that doesn't have life. For the Word to be God, it must mean that this Word is alive. This Word is a living being because God is not inanimate. To have the title of God automatically means that you are alive. You are actually a personality. You may not be a human, but you are a living being. Intelligence personified. Intelligence to the highest degree. And not just intelligence, to be God. Notice, it doesn't say the Word was a lesser God. It doesn't say that the Word was a mini-God or a demigod. The Word was God. In other words, just as the Father is God, which this Word had a relationship with, this Word is also God. And friends, this is a powerful truth because what we're realizing here is that the Word itself is a living being. The Word itself is a living being. And that same Word, according to verse 2, was in the beginning with God, right? And we know that God was there before the beginning. So this means that this Word did not begin to exist in the beginning. It was already there with the Father when the beginning began. And then it says this, re-echoing the same point, or bringing out the same point that was brought out in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. All things were made by him. That is by the word. And without him, that is by the word, was not anything made that was made. And friends, we already found out in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, all things were made by Christ, all the worlds. So if it's saying all things were made by him, this word, and then it says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, Christ was the one who made all things, including all the worlds, it has to then mean that the word here is the Son that is spoken of in Hebrews 1 and verse 2. It's the same person. The word in John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3 and the Son mentioned in Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 3 is the same person. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now friends, this is important to understand because it's showing something about the Son. It's showing the Son's pre-existence. Why do I say that? Because you remember in verse 14 of John chapter 1, the Son becomes flesh. It says, and the Word, that same Word that was God, just as much as the Father is God, it says that Word was made flesh. That means it became human. Or let me not say it, but the Word itself, that living being that was God, became human and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Now notice who this word is described as, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now some people, the reason we're going a little bit in depth into this, and next week we're going to break down 1 John chapter 5 verses 7 and 8, but I wanted to break this down so we really understand this. It's crazy because my friend and I, we were actually talking about this just a few days ago. And as we were talking about it, he was mentioning to me, and he was hinting at the idea that there are some who, when they read this subject of only begotten, these two words, only begotten, because notice, the word that was made flesh is the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So the word was not only with God, but it was God. But some reading this later on in verse 14, they're like, you see, this word was begotten by God, right? And it depends on the context in which you're reading the word begotten. Many people don't take into consideration the context. The context of the word begotten here is in context of Christ's humanity, Christ being brought into the world as a human child. That's why it's crucial for us to remember, because what does it say in the first part of verse 14? And the Word was made flesh, that's human, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, right? And you remember, it was the inspiration of God himself uniting with Mary to bring about the Son of God, right? In humanity. But you remember, that Son existed as the Word before he became human. And even in his pre-existence, that Word, as he is noted in John chapter 1, he is also still the only begotten. But many people get tripped up on what begotten means. And this is why we're covering this as we go to John chapter 3. Who is this only begotten? Because it doesn't mention him by name here. So how do we know this is Jesus? You go to John chapter 3, and we're going to verse 16. You guys know the verse. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and listen to how he refers to himself. Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus by night, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave," here's the word, "the only begotten Son," his only begotten Son. So the only begotten of the Father. Here it is again. "That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So this is powerful what we're reading here. We're realizing the only begotten of the Father mentioned in John 1 is Jesus Christ, who acknowledges himself as the only begotten in John chapter 3, right? So we're realizing this is Jesus. He is not called that by name in John 1, but he acknowledges himself as that in John 3. So there's no way of escaping that Jesus is the only begotten. That was the Word that was not only with God, but that also was God. I pray that that makes sense. Now, my friend and I, we were looking and we were studying and breaking down the word begotten, because many people, there is an entire movement that is forming. It has formed in many other churches. And friends, it was there at the beginning of our church itself. The beginning of the Seventh-day Adventist movement had that belief system. Coming from different groups, you had the Seventh-day Adventist church was composed of people from the Christian Connection Church, which believed in the literality of the word begotten. They believed that at some point far back, beyond what humans can comprehend, what happened? That Jesus came out of the Father in some way, in some kind of birth sense, explained by humanity. And so in that sense, Jesus had some kind of beginning or being brought forth. And so they take that brought forth and they connect it to a child being brought forth from a mother. And they're saying, you see, Jesus is using the same language as him being brought forth by the Father. But they say, you know what, we're not saying that he was created, but friends, really, when you look at it, they really are saying that. Even though they may say, we're not really saying that. But friends, this is why we have to be so careful with how we understand this word. Our pioneers in the beginning actually believed this. They actually went a step further. Uriah Smith, when he wrote the book Daniel and Revelation, the first edition of that book, in the first edition, when it talked about Christ being the firstborn, as he broke down the book of Revelation, and Christ being the firstborn, the first begotten of the dead, he actually translated that as Christ being the first created being. If you go back to the original manuscript of the Daniel and Revelation. And then, because he started studying more, and the Adventist pioneers, they began studying more, along with statements, I'll come to that later on, that Ellen White herself began to state. They were honest with the statements. Now, as they were studying more, as the second and third and following editions of Daniel and Revelation came out, Uriah Smith began to change his language according to his advancing understanding of this word begotten, along with the rest of the church. But they still didn't want to receive this idea that Christ was just as eternal as his Father. Until, friends, one day M.L. Andreasen, one of the powerful leaders in our church later on in its history, was reading the writings of one of the editions of Desire of Ages. And as he read in the Desire of Ages, he read the part in Desire of Ages, page 530. And many people, I said that there are movements that are against this eternality of Jesus Christ. But friends, that mindset has also crept into the Adventist church, and this is where it's very dangerous. It was there in the beginning, but when you don't understand our history, people forget and they don't realize that there was an advancing understanding. The more that Christ was studied, the more that righteousness by faith was studied, men and women began to realize how exalted Christ truly is. The more people study Christ and his righteousness, the more they began to understand, the higher was their understanding of who Christ really was, to the point that by the time you get to the edition of Desire of Ages, the first and following editions of the Desire of Ages, Ellen White wrote on page 530 of Desire of Ages that in Christ is power that is original. That means it's not coming from somewhere else. It's brand new. It's not coming from someone else. But she says it's not only original. It's unborrowed. Now, you remember, when you look at some of the groups that are within Adventism today, they believe all the fundamental beliefs. But as it concerns the deity of Christ, there are many that are saying, well, you know, as you look at this, Christ is God, but it was because he was given that title. You say, well, Christ is Jehovah. No, it was because he was given that title by Jehovah himself. But he's
He's not Jehovah as much as the Father is Jehovah. There's a difference. He's been given that name by God. But friends, it is not so. And the pioneers understood this. When Ellen White stated that in Christ is power original, unborrowed, and here it is, the next word, underived. That means it's not taken from anywhere else, including the Father. Christ is his own power source. And that's how he existed from eternal ages. In him is power original. I'm going to reiterate it again, unborrowed, she says. Well, I'll use a third word, underived. He didn't take it from anywhere else. Friends, the pioneers understood. It was to the point, it's interesting because people try to twist that statement today. But friends, the pioneers understood exactly what was beginning to happen. M.L. Andreasen, one of the powerful proponents of the subject of victory over sin under the title Last Generation Theology, friends, he understood what she was saying, and he was shocked. When you read the manuscripts, you find out historically that he was shocked because unlike many today who try to twist the statement, he understood exactly what Ellen White was beginning to say. And so he was so shocked that he said, you know what, I have to go talk to this lady to make sure I'm understanding what this woman is saying. Is she saying what I think she's saying? And so he went and he spoke to her, and she said, it is exactly as I have written it. So the question was by him, are you saying that Christ is not dependent, that Christ in himself is an original being, that it's not that he somehow came out of God in the sense that we are thinking, that it's not in the sense that, oh, Christ was begotten how we think of it, in the sense of, oh, man, at some point in eternity past, even as E.J. Wagner said it, some point in eternity past, beyond what we can comprehend, Christ came out of God. She says, no, it wasn't that. And she confirmed her statement and what she meant. Friends, this is when the Christology, along with A.T. Jones and others, saying that Christ himself was eternal, there began to be a shift. And many people are not honest with that shift. One of the statements from Spirit of Prophecy goes as follows. She actually states this, and you could find this if you want to go to Volume 7a of the Bible Commentary, Chapter 2, speaking on the deity of Christ. It says, in speaking of his existence, now notice this, Christ, that is the Word, right? Same as the Word in John 1, same as the Son in Hebrews Chapter 1. Christ carries the mind back. Through, now watch this, these two words. This is when he was speaking to the Jews concerning his deity in John chapter 8. And the statement can be found, the original statement is the Signs of the Times, August 29th, 1900. It says, in speaking of his pre-existence, Christ carries the mind back through, notice the two words, dateless ages. Do you see that? So whether you're counting it from the perspective of a human or you're counting it from the perspective of God and God knowing eternity past and being able to put dates on eternity past from him being God himself, friends, there is no, whether it be beyond human comprehension or within human comprehension, where Christ somehow started coming out of God. It's dateless, friends. Christ was always there. Just as much as the Father was always there, there's no date that you can put on the Father being coming into existence, in the same way it was with Christ. He assures us that there never was a time when he was not in close fellowship with the eternal God. He to whose voice the Jews were then listening had been, now listen to this, had been with God as one brought up with him. Come on, do you see that statement, friends? That's what scholars call coeval. Not coeval, C-O-E-V-I-L, but coeval, C-O-V-A-L. That means the same age as. So if I were to say, and this is impossible, but with God, it's different. With man, if I were to say I'm the same age as my dad, I was brought up with him. Friends, you would laugh. And that's why the Jews actually laughed at him when he said this. They actually laughed to the point that they got angry and they wanted to stone him. They became furious because he was saying, this is why, and this is why we can't understand the word begotten from a human perspective. The literal word begotten actually means in the original Greek, when we're talking about Christ and even human beings, the word actually means one of a kind. And it actually means unique, the only one of its kind. And so when we're talking about this, how is Jesus the only one of its kind? Because when it says Jesus is the only begotten, what we're realizing, if Jesus is saying, I'm the same age as my father, friends, blows the mind. But that's what he's saying. That's why our interpretation of begotten has to be different. And what I want to submit to you is that Christ is saying, I'm begotten, not in the sense of creation, not in the sense of eternal generation, not in the sense of, oh, some point way back through the ages of eternity, I came out of God. That means you can put a date on it. Human beings may not be able to put a date on it, but God can. But Jesus says, no, there's no date. I was always with my Father. And to how much of an extent? I was as one brought up with him. Come on, friends. That's why I want to say, when we're understanding the word begotten, it's not that Christ somehow came out of God. When he uses that language, we have to be careful that we're not taking it in a human understanding. Christ was begotten not in the sense of being brought forth or creation, but Christ was begotten in the sense of eternal submission. You see, the plan of redemption, all things must be understood through the context and through the lens of the plan of redemption. God knew that there was a crisis that would come. From when? From eternity past. And we cannot comprehend that. But from eternity past, God understood that there was a crisis that would come to the universe as a result of Lucifer's fall. That it would not only result in the fall of angels and the fall of Lucifer himself, but it would result in the fall of humanity. How then are we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, going to be able to relate, to help humanity to understand us? And the way that they chose to do this was that each of them from eternity past chose to take on different roles. One having the role of supremacy, the Father. One having the role and manifestation of eternal submission, the Son. And one taking on the role of glorifying the previous two. That's why Jesus, when he came to this world, what did he say? I came to glorify the one who sent me. I came forth from him. In what sense? God sent me here from his very presence. It's not saying, oh, at some point in eternity past, I came out of God. No, Jesus is simply saying, and that's why we know this, because as we're reading these statements, it's vindicating that fact. Christ is not saying, I came forth from God, in the sense of how a child comes out of his mother. No, friends. He's saying that I came out of that relationship, out of that presence, and I came to earth. To represent whom? To vindicate God the Father. And when the Spirit comes, who does the Spirit come to uplift? The Spirit comes to uplift and exalt the Son. That's John chapter 16, right? To glorify me, Jesus says. So one glorifies the other. The other exalting the other. But you see, there has to be a system in them. And this is where many people get upset about this understanding of hierarchy, a system of order. One submits to the other. So that in the Godhead, we see a manifestation of how we can relate, how God can relate to the human experience, to the human relationships of hierarchy, of system, of order, of Father and Son, so that we can then relate in our finite fallen minds to something about God. This is why Christ is called the Eternal Son by Ellen White. Not because somehow he came out of God and was born of him, but no, he is called the Eternal Son because from eternity past, the plan of redemption was orchestrated from eternity past. And they said, knowing the crisis that is coming, let us take on these roles. That just as there's a hierarchy among the angels, there is that very same thing within the Godhead. Now, to make it clear, all three have the same power. But they have chosen one to submit to the other for the purpose of being able to be understood by fallen human minds. I'll read one other statement here. Christ shows them, that is the Jews, that although they might reckon his life to be less than 50 years, yet his divine life, she re-echoes the point again, could not be reckoned by human computation. The existence of Christ before his incarnation is not measured by figures. Why? Because he's eternal. Check this out. So when you read this, you can actually read this from Scripture itself. Scripture brings the point out. It says in the book of Micah, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says the following. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, watch this, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. This is a messianic prophecy. The one that is to be ruler in Israel is the Messiah. But notice what it says about the Messiah. When the Jews were threatened by Herod concerning the news from the wise men as to the whereabouts of where Christ would be born, Herod threatened them and said, you better find out for me where it is prophesied about this Messiah and his birth. They went back to the text and they saw the first part of the text, Bethlehem Ephratah. But friends, they failed to understand that that same text points us to something that is mind-blowing about the Messiah. And what is that? It says, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Now notice what it says about this Messiah, whose goings forth have been from of old. All right, yeah, from of old. That means, okay, yeah, we can go way back and maybe we can't put a date on it, humanly speaking. But the Bible, knowing that human beings would think like that and arrive at a wrong conception of who Christ was before his incarnation, the Bible says, no, I'll give another word to make it plain. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That means there's no date you can put on it. Whether you are counting it from a divine perspective, whether you're counting it from a human perspective, there was never a time when Christ was not. Friends, there was never a time when somehow he was created before the beginning of all things. There was never a time when somehow, some way, some kind of light, he began to emanate from the Father and come forth from him. No, friends, Christ always existed as a separate being in relationship with his Father. This is what John chapter 1, verse 1 is pointing us to. No matter how much people try to get around it by trying to twist the words of Scripture or the words of Ellen White, friends, the pioneers understood exactly what she was saying. For some, it was hard for them because they were realizing, whoa, this is really different. And you should take some time, if you have time, study the writings of Ellen White and you will see the progressive revelation, some of them way ahead of the pioneers, as she begins to understand the glory and the exaltation of Christ's true existence before his incarnation. The further and further you go through the Adventist history, you begin to realize their Christology. That means their understanding of Christ and their study of him begins to rise higher and higher and higher until they realize, whoa, it's not just that he was never created. He belongs to the category of uncreated. Just as much as the Father, this might rock some people, but just as much as the Father is almighty, friends, Christ is acknowledged by Scripture as almighty as well. And so, friends, the entire Godhead possesses the same power. If you don't want to use the word Trinity, because many people, when you say that, they're like, oh, that's Catholic. Friends, there are many things that Catholicism believes that also is seen. You remember, Catholicism, the reason it's so attractive is because it is truth commingled with error. It's not just error. Many people think, oh, because this thing is known for being a phrase in the Catholic Church, that means it's automatically bad. Okay, if you don't want to use the word Trinity, then use the word heavenly trio. The Bible uses the word Godhead, the understanding of the three heavenly dignitaries. Friends, when we understand it from the Adventist perspective, and that's what I mean when I use that word, Trinity, not from this perspective of Catholics. You remember, friends, we use the word Bible, and it's not in the Bible. That word is nowhere in the Bible. But if you feel uncomfortable, we have the words that are used in inspiration. Heavenly trio, the three heavenly dignitaries, the Godhead. But all are pointing, there is no distinction except as in one submits to the other. But all are just as powerful as the other. Christ is no less powerful than his Father. The Spirit is no less powerful than Christ and the Father. All of them have the same power level, and all of them are eternal. This is what it means when we read, in the beginning was the Word. That is Christ in his pre-incarnate form. And that Word was not only have in a deep, eternity past relationship with God, but it tells us that that Word was God. Not a lesser God, not a created God, not an eternally generated God, not something that literally came out of God. No, friends. Christ is God, Ellen White says, to the highest, in the highest sense. That means just as much as the Father is, so is he, in the highest sense. Next week, we'll break down this understanding. This God, by the way, is the one who created the Sabbath, who created the worlds, who was there when the beginning began. Next week, we'll begin to break down our understanding of the same, in the same context of the deity of Christ, but from the perspective of 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. So prepare for that, but I pray that this evening's message made sense. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, as we have covered these things this evening, I pray that they make sense to us. Continue to guide us, Lord, and help us to understand these things, Lord. That, Lord, Seventh-day Adventists actually have the highest Christology of all. And that to us that you have revealed that Christ is a distinct being, separate from you, but yet at the same time in an eternal relationship with you. Yet not dependent upon you, except when he came to this world, but not dependent on you for power, not dependent on you to live and for his existence, for he is self-existent in himself. And we are told that Ellen White uses those same words to explain who Christ is, self-existent. Father, as we see Christ in all his beauty and exaltation, pray that we will proclaim him as such, that the world will see in the divinity of Christ their hope. I pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you got it. And as I was listening, I just praise God. I've always believed that our Savior, He is God. I always believe He and His Father, as Brother Akin was bringing in, that the relation. And when I think about how that character, the character of Christ and the character of His Father, their character are all the same. And that's why our character, Jesus, has to come up higher. Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for this message. And Father, forgive us, Lord, of our weakness. Father, our character has to come up higher. Father, strengthen us. Lord, lead and guide us. Help us to know you, Jesus. Help us to come closer. Help us to want to know you and love you, and that we can be with you. As I was telling my friends, I said, sisters, I said, we want to meet at the welcome table. And we were just saying, I'm going to sit at the welcome table one of these days. Hallelujah. We're going to sit at the welcome table. So, brothers and sisters, let us get to know Christ, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for the word tonight. So, Brother King, we want to thank you for breaking that down. And next week, we're going to understand the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the one that dwells on earth is the water, the Spirit, and the blood. I can't wait to get to that one because I need to understand that a little bit better. So I'm just grateful to the teaching and the word of God on this prayer line, because I want the truth as it is in Jesus. So sisters and brothers, God bless you tonight. And I just pray that when you go to sleep, you just think about him and that power, the power who he is. He's all power. He's all God. He's our Savior, and he's able to help us. So just keep it on, not keep it in your mind as you go to sleep. So we're going to close with this song. We're going to close with this song, Sister Power favorite song, because that just filled my heart tonight. Now we're going to put Calvary. Oh, I love that song, Calvary. Let me get to it. Calvary Cross, play that song. And let my brothers and sisters hear that. Hold on, let me get it. Lead me to Calvary. Here we go. I'm going to play that, and God bless and good night, my brothers and sisters. I hope it plays. Oh, Bert. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope it's playing. I don't know. My computer. So if it don't connect, my brothers and sisters, okay, it may be playing now. Is it playing? Brothers and sisters, it don't want to play. My computer is weak. So Brother Akeem, we want to thank you tonight. And I'm just saying God bless and God keep everyone. We love you and be blessed. And we're going to hear one another on Thursday night, I believe, our next prayer line. Amen. My computer is finished. So, brothers and sisters, I'm just going to close it up. God bless. Amen. Okay.